Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I personally think you're being too harsh. I think you're saying, you know, he's miles off Leclerc. As he should be.
Absolutely, as he should be.
As he should be. In my head, when they made the announcement, I thought if he was anywhere near half a second a lap off Leclerc, that's fairly outrageous. I think he was 7 or 8 tenths on average a lap.
Yeah, because sometimes he was a second and sometimes he was half a second. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
I think it would average out around 7 or 8 tenths, which I think is good.
I absolutely agree. I'm not saying that I'm being harsh on him, but what I'm saying is, in motorsport in general, 8 or 9 temps in the same car is a lifetime per lap.
Sure.
You know, so, and that is the difference between a good driver and a proper top driver. And it's just it's not that I don't think he done a good job, because he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between an F1 car and any other car will be through the roof. How many times we said that before?
Yeah.
That last bit, that's the most important bit.
But I think 4 tenths of that, 4 tenths of that, a lack of experience.
I'm not saying he can't get it.
With some practice. For sure.
But this is what I mean. That's the hard bit. That's always the hard bit in motorsport.
Oh, actually, so what you're saying is, any good driver, so let's say you're a tin top or you're in F2 or whatever, you can get in an F1 car and you'll probably be within a second of the pro guys, but actually to compete, it's that final second that's the bit that needs work or shows who the real good guys are.
But I think that's across the board, mate, in any racing.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So if you know, when you look at tin top racing, when you look at a good pro-am and a pro,
yeah,
the really good pro-ams are like second and a half a lap.
Fair.
Okay. It's always that last bit.
Yeah, fair. So if you're a good driver, you're going to get in and you're going to be within a second. If you're not within a second, you're not a good driver.
You're not good enough.
Full stop.
It's simple as that, you're not good enough.
Yeah, I give that to you.
But the TV was saying, the way the TV, and I suppose they had to talk about it because there was nothing to talk about in the race.
It's a story.
That's what I mean. And they over-egged the story. But I'm not saying he didn't do a good job, because he did. Purely for the fitness and the downforce. I mean, how tired would he have been in that car? I mean, his head probably wanted to fall off.
The fact he didn't bin it. I think, for me, that's the biggest thing, is it was the maturity of the drive.
Oh, I think that's it. Talking about binning it, did you see the Lance Stroll comment?
No.
Oh, mate, it was the funniest thing
ever.
What
happened?
So he hit the wall and obviously went in the wall, and the... As he went in the wall, he said to his engineer, hit the wall. And they said, okay, Lance, could you get the car back? He went, no, I'm in the effing wall. It was the funniest.
Lance sometimes just gives no Fs, does he? No Fs.
Right. Yeah. Okay, it's the funniest thing ever.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
Oh, I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode.
I have to apologise because this voice, it's not going to be nice to listen to.
You sound like Barry White.
Maybe our female demographic are going to go, hey, I can tolerate this week. Tony Gravelwood and Barry White.
Well, you look like Barry White a little, because this is, by the way, for people watching on YouTube, this is the smartest I've ever seen you.
Well, thank you. Audio listeners, I am wearing smart shoes.
Yep. Chelsea boots, the Beatles.
Chelsea boots. I'm wearing a roll neck, what do you call it? Yeah, roll neck.
Yeah.
It's all dark. But I'm going to a fancy thing later.
You look like a man at CNA.
I haven't got time to go home and get changed, so I had to come this morning. I think I should start dressing like this more often.
I think you should as
why
well.
Why not? A bit formal, you know, sit down, do a podcast, look nice.
The thing is, though, mate, is when you dress nicely all the time, it then becomes like the norm.
Well, then you have to. If you wear a T-shirt, everyone's like, oh, I look like a bit of a slob.
But also, when you go somewhere posh and you always dress nicely and then you go somewhere posh, it's all, you look the same.
Yeah, but you can never be overdressed. Do you know that? You can never be overdressed. You can only ever be underdressed.
Said who?
It's a true fact. Think about it. Go to a barbecue in a pub in a suit. Mm. Who cares? You're in a suit. You look good. But go to a funeral in a T-shirt and shorts. Oh, awkward. It's true. It's a fundamental fact. So it's always worth making a bit more effort than you think. Right. I'm not one to...
I was going
to
say, why don't you take your own
I don't fly that flag. No. But this could be a start. Maybe, you know, if I get... You're the first nice comment I've got. Actually, to be fair, my wife also gave me a nice comment.
Well, she's probably surprised. Probably never seen
she
you
like
that.
She was very surprised. She said, oh, it looks nice, doesn't it, to the baby?
Oh, actually, I'm going to take that last statement back, by the way, as the smartest... Because the smartest I ever see was at your wedding.
Oh, yes. I made some effort there.
Well, you had to.
Yeah, a little bit.
Who dressed you then?
I did.
No, you did.
I did. I went to Savile Row, got myself custom-made suit all by myself, picked it all out, picked out all the colours. Did everything. Yeah, did it all.
No one, your mum or... No one said...
Dad didn't help. No one helped. It was a surprise. When I unveiled it, it was a surprise. The only thing I
asked... Well, it was a surprise if you saw him, everyone.
I looked dapper.
Dapper.
The only thing I think I asked my dad about is the size of the, like, herringbone. So the check on the trouser, I went a bit quirky. And I was like, do you think that... It was a bit Mick Jagger. I said, do you think that's punchy? He goes, no, it sounds great. He didn't see it, but I was like, is that going to be a bit... aggressive? And he goes, no, I think I love that kind of thing. Yeah. It looked fantastic. But yeah, I started off by trying to apologize for this voice. Essentially, I think I had a bit too much fun in New York.
Right.
I went to New York at the weekend. I went hard. I think I slept.
You got drunk?
Well, I actually did.
Wow.
For the first time in a really long time. But over and above that, I worked my tits off. I was there for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I was there for 3 days.
Yeah.
I think I must have slept about 4.5 hours.
Oh, wow, that's unlike you.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping that well at the moment in general, and then the jet lag, and then I was just busy. So, and also I forgot how loud New York is. So I was staying in this super trendy hotel on purpose, arrived, checked in, and as I was checking in, the bar was popping off so much that I was like, oh my God, I really don't want to go to my room, I want to go to the bar. But I didn't know anyone, and it was like really trendily dark, and I was like, I'm just going to look like a weird perv, just be like, hey guys, and I just landed. So I went to my room, but then I could hear the bar, and then the windows that were just not thick, I meant I could hear the whole street and the sirens and the horns, so I didn't sleep that night. And then spent all day filming on Friday, left the hotel at 7 a.m, got back at 9:30, passed out, but then woke up at 2 a.m. wide awake. Nightmare.
Jet lag.
Filmed all day Saturday in the freezing cold. And then, yeah, big night out on Saturday night. Woke up, got straight on the plane on Sunday, came home. And as you can hear, well, had the better of me. So
yeah, done you in.
I apologize. I say maybe some people, listen to Sam. What a guy.
This will get loads of views, and then next week be back to normal. No one will listen.
But I think most people will be like, God, he should have taken a week off. Have a strepsil, mate. So I do, yeah, I apologize, and I might have to clear my throat every now and again. But, you know, we don't drop an episode, Tony, just because we're sick.
No.
I'm not even sick. I'm just, I'm out of the game. Yeah. I'm too long out of the game. So I have one beer and an 11 p.m. bedtime. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on the floor. How can you last on a night out?
Not really anymore. I'm a bit old.
When was the last time that you went out, like got drunk and you were like, oh my God, it's 2 a.m. long ago.
Oh mate, like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not interested. I've done it
all. No, yeah.
And even when I was younger, I wasn't really a big party lad when I was younger.
I've never been a big party lad.
No, I'm just not that sort of person. I get up early.
Yeah, you do. I like getting up early. Nothing I hate more than accidentally having a lie in.
No chance.
What's your cutoff? So if you wake up and you look at the clock and it starts with a number, what number would make you go, oh my God, what have I done?
7.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say 8. I would accept a 7. If it was like a 7 something, I'd probably be like, oh, that's annoying. If it starts with an 8, I literally am like nearly suicidal for the rest of the day. Because I feel like I've missed the whole day.
Yeah, it's very, very rare that I'll wake up at 8. I mean, it's not really a thing.
I don't remember the last time I saw an 8 at the start. No. But yeah, no, I'm also like, I don't really go out. I really don't drink. We've spoken about this before. Mm. But if there's an environment, firstly, I feel like I've been needing it.
Yeah, fair.
But if there's an environment where, like, I feed off other people.
Okay.
So it was a good energy. Everyone was having a good time.
You went piling in.
I went piling in.
Yeah.
New York, New York. So here I am in my Maserati. Hey! Had a few friends in town. Lived it up. I like that city. Have you ever been to that
city? Not been New York.
It's a good place. It's London on crack.
Okay.
It's you could say it's too much.
Well, like, I couldn't think of anything worse by the sounds of it.
I mean, literally on crack. There's just crack addicts everywhere. But it's the cliched line is it's a city that never sleeps. It genuinely never freaking sleeps. Yeah. And sometimes you're like, please go to sleep. Like, just please shut up.
Yeah.
But if you're in the right mood, it's, I had a good time. But let's talk cars, because that's why I went, predominantly, apart from to have a Rager.
Rager, I went a bit after.
And it ruined me. We'll kick things off. Maserati Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
So that's the car I had for the weekend, and I've already put out the main channel video so we can get kind of right into it. So this was a bit of a weird one because that car obviously launched a bit of a while ago. We spoke about it here on the podcast.
Did we? I don't even know.
We did, because we were sort of intrigued-ish. We liked the look of it. We liked the fact that it didn't change much, but then we were worried about the engine and the pricing. And anyway, but I just hadn't seen any. I mean, I hadn't seen one anywhere.
I literally don't remember that conversation.
Really?
No. That must have been out.
It went
over my head.
Over your head. I mean, it has been out a while. But,
right.
And they had it at Goodwood last year. Mm. It was going up and down the hill. But yeah, just... and struggling to get hold of one. And there didn't seem to be a lot of reviews going on. I was like, what's happening? So when I was planning the trip to New York, I thought I'd jump on Turo, which I've used a few times before, which we do have here in the UK, and it is available in other parts of the world, but it's best in America.
Mm.
It's like Airbnb for cars.
Yeah. Well, we done it when we went.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Excuse me.
Hashtag not an ad, but I'm just a fan. I will declare I have worked with them in the past, but a long time ago. And so I thought, I'll have a car to drive around. Let's see what's on. And I saw this Maserati Gran Turismo, and I sort of almost couldn't believe it, firstly, because the guy priced it way too low. But I was like, oh, it's genuinely a brand new Trofeo and quite well priced. I was like, cool, let's take it. I think, just to clarify, quite good price. Where's my phone? I think it was, for 4 days, 3 nights, 4 days, I think it was 700 quid.
Pounds.
Pounds. I mean, it's a little pricey.
It's quite a lot, mate.
It's quite a lot, but obviously I'm making content, so I could justify it business-wise.
You've paid his monthly payment.
Almost certainly. Well, we can get into that in a second. I have some amazing stories. That is quite a lot, isn't it, actually, now that I think about it? Go on.
I thought, the professional that you are, I thought you was actually on a Maserati trip.
A lot of people did. Even Shmee did. Shmee messaged me saying, oh, you're working with Jennifer? I'm like, no, it's a Turo car. I just paid for it. I was that confident in the video, which was a mistake because it's getting no views. So I've lost money there. it's more than I realise now that I've said it out loud. But I think if you'd gone to like Hertz and tried to get a Bentley, because it's a 200 grand car, but it's not. It's a £165,000 car. for 4 days, I think you're going to be paying that kind of money. Anyway, long story short, I justified it in my head somehow.
Man maths.
I was definitely. Maserati Gran Turismo. So I went off Turo. So I arrived at the airport. Guy was very communicative, very nice. Tall guy, about 7 foot. Shook his hand. He was wearing a Polestar cap. I was like, interesting.
Oh, he actually come and met you?
Yeah, that's how it works. Well, I mean, it doesn't always work like that.
No.
But we picked up the GT500 from that guy, didn't we, in his workshop?
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah.
Anyway, so there he was, and I was chatting. And I said, super cool. Like, I didn't, you know, I was surprised to see the car. And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, how long have you had it? He goes, oh, not that long. I said, are you driving it or did you buy it for business? And he went, well, no, you know, it's the last combustion engine Maserati. I thought maybe it'd be a good investment.
No.
Which
did
point?
You break his arm?
No, which point? I was like, yeah.
Again.
Wow. Goes, so it's not even done 1,000 miles yet. I was like, are you giving it to me?
Yeah.
He's been sitting in my garage, and so I'm doing a weird accent because he had an accent, and it's not very fair to try and replicate. Anyway, yeah, so he'd been sitting in his garage since he bought it. He'd barely touched it, and he thought, well, maybe I'll stick it on Turo and see what happened. He said he had no... I was the first person to even attempt to rent it, and he's at the end of the rent, he's going, I'm going to stick the price up. I was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So, yeah, literally, it was a brand new car for me.
Right.
Barely touched. So I went there thinking I wouldn't like it. Because do you remember our Grecale experience? We kind of went kind of intrigued and ended up leaving being a bit like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, the Maserati.
The
Maserati,
little SUV thing.
Yeah, yeah, just done the job.
Yeah, but it was just unexciting in
uninspiring.
A way. Uninspiring. Yeah. Felt very Stelvio Quadrifoglio, but for a lot more money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of thought that's probably what we're going to find here. Because it's the same engine. It's that Nettuno MC20 Giulio Quadrifoglio engine.
Which they say is not.
Yeah.
But well, it is.
It is. With F1 technology. but as I walked up, a beautiful car. Car looks great. Car looks really great. Step inside, mate. The interior is spectacular.
Yeah.
So same design language as the Grecale, which you clearly don't remember because you had no idea what I was talking about when I said that name. But yeah, beautiful interior. And it felt quality. It felt high-end. The leather, the stitching, all the buttons. Everything felt really premium. I was like, okay, this is a really good start in the right direction. Loads of tech, amazing sound system, but I'm going, great, fire it up. Oh, just that engine, it's just death. Because it doesn't sound like a six-cylinder. It sounds like a three-pot or a four-cylinder. Like it's just, like it's like a hot hatch engine, which doesn't suit the visuals of the car.
Okay.
Do you not agree?
Yeah. As an engine, I don't think it's bad, but... I think it's a good engine, as in a strong engine, but I'd agree the noise is not fantastic.
And
bit of a dull, droney, horrible noise.
Yeah, and it's a boxy noise. Yeah. Like it's just it sounds cheap.
Yeah,
it sounds cheap.
Well, it is.
Yeah. And you say it's strong, it is, but it's also quite laggy.
Mm.
At least in that form. So yeah. 550 horsepower in this car. So 600 newton meters, something like that. Anyway, a little bit down on F-Type R power, basically. Yeah, that's how I rated it. Yeah, I think it was 600 newton meters.
Yeah.
So just a bit laggy, you know.
Did you compare it to an F-Type R?
Yeah, that was my whole thing.
Little bit unfair, as in that's probably why you thought it was laggy, because the F-Type R is supercharged, so there's no lag.
Of course. So
different way they deliver the power.
Yeah, and the F-Type R is more powerful.
Yeah,
25 horsepower more, 50 newton meters of torque more, supercharged, so you're right, different power delivery.
More linear.
It's lighter.
Okay.
It's 200,
really?
200 kilos lighter, the F-Type R. So it wasn't a very fair comparison, but it was for me the most obvious comparison because Maserati are trying to pitch it as a Continental GT rival.
Which is unfair on the Maserati.
Yeah, because
the
Bentley's 2.2 tons, it's massive, it's different powertrain. Like, you know, so I couldn't work, I was like, well, it's definitely different and better than the F-Type, but it's not a Bentley. Anyway,
how would you compare it to New Vantage?
I haven't driven New Vantage, but very different.
Okay.
Firstly, it's a 2+2, all-wheel drive, not rear-wheel drive. The New Vantage is how much horsepower? 600 and something, so it's going to be down by 75 horsepower.
Oh, I've got another one for you now, the new AMG Merc.
I think that's the rival.
Yeah.
That's the rival. It's bang on the same money. So 165 in the UK.
No.
2+2, all-wheel drive.
165+.
165 plus. What gearbox does the new Merc have?
What do they use? They normally use a double clutch, but it might be an 8-speed, might be a ZF.
Well, yeah, so that's what the Maserati's
got.
Yeah,
that's what the Maserati is, so,
But it's super nice on the road. It has a comfort setting, has various damper settings. Like, just super nice. And on the first day, I was like, this is lovely. Found some back roads. No amazing roads. Around New York, you can't find good roads. But just, you know, I was like, and as an F-Type R type car, as in, like, just something to use as a daily, that you find, occasionally you end up on a nice road, great. You're rocking up to a club, great. Going to dinner, got kids in the back. Like, just does everything. Super nice. As the weekend went on, the the tinniness of the engine started to get to me a little bit.
Mm.
Because everywhere I went, people were like, wow, and the paint was unbelievable. And people were like, this car's beautiful. And people were intrigued. I met some people who were getting one. Like, just everyone was like, wow, what a nice car. I got so many thumbs up. But every time I got in it, I was like, oh. I just wanted it to just be a bit thicker sounding. I don't need it to be a V8, but just have a bit more chunk.
A bit more muscle.
A bit more exoticness.
Yeah.
It just wasn't exotic when I started up. But fantastic car. Fantastic car.
Overall. Right.
I got into all the pricing and stuff like that. So yeah, 165 plus for the Trofeo. They have an entry-level car called the Modena, which starts at 133 here in the UK, plus.
Same engine,
490 horsepower, not 550, but no ELSD, no limited slip diff.
Right.
And a couple of other things, but actually I think is the one to have.
Right, okay.
If you're not going to thrash it, if you're just using it as a cruiser, it's the one to have.
Because then it becomes more 911 rival then.
Yeah, price-wise, it's more appropriate.
Mm.
And then, of course, you've got the electric version, which is all the way at the top.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, who cares about that?
Yeah.
But uh-oh in general, because... So I met a few people who ordered it. In America, they're struggling with that car so much. I met a guy who just got two, one for him and one for his son, on lease. And for a 12-month lease of that car, what do you reckon the payments were for the 12 months?
Well, what was the deposit?
Very good question.
Because that makes a difference.
But it wasn't insane because of what they were saying to me. And at least, obviously, you don't get the deposit back, do you?
No, it's gone.
It's gone. But
the car's depreciated like a stone, who cares? That's what it cost you.
$7,000.
What?
For the 12 months.
For the year?
For the year.
£600 a month. $600 a month, whatever. Plus the deposit, which probably could be $20,000.
Maybe it was $20,000. Yeah. These guys had quite a lot of money.
Yeah, they don't care, yeah.
They don't care. But it wasn't like, they were so bamboozled and blown away by the deal. He got two. He's like, I got one for my son as well. Because yeah, I was like, fun. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah.
We don't get those kind of deals here. The cheapest one I found was $23,000 for the year.
Yeah, well, they're just trying to get them out. Was that through actual Maserati or a leasing company?
That was through Maserati, and apparently a bit of a loophole.
Okay, fine.
Anyway. Yeah. I looked at some pricing here, and the financing isn't fantastic because of the residuals on Maseratis. Even Maserati doing their own finance, but still, it's chunky money.
But if they don't sell them, mate, they'll make them more desirable.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's too soon. I think in another 12 months, you'll be getting some big money off.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic car.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic car. A few people said Roma rival. Obviously, a second-hand Roma with 5,000 miles on is approaching 145, which is what they're listed at as on the used market at the moment.
Mm.
Yes, I'd get the Roma, of course.
Mm.
But I think once they're 110 or
99,950.
Yeah, it's a great car, mate. Mm. I would love to have one. I would love to have one.
Yeah, fair.
It's just a usable thing, but I have to wait and see.
Mm.
So aside from that, what else did I get up to? I did a lot of classic. I got a lot of classic content coming up on the main channel.
Have you?
Yeah, man.
But you like the old classic stuff, don't you?
I love the classic stuff. Yeah. So I think I'm going to have four classic videos on a trot, which means that my channel's going to die.
No, people watch you for that, don't they?
Well, I'm not sure. It's a real tough sell, the classics.
Is it?
Yeah, because unless I'm like, should I buy? People don't, you know, it's hard to get the clicks.
Just put that in four times.
Yeah. Maybe I should frame it as a series.
Series.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, so I went and drove an insanely rare Porsche that you won't care anything about.
No, tell me. I might like it.
You're not going to. 1994.
Oh, I'm not interested.
3.6 Turbo S flak bow.
No, a what?
Okay, essentially the last iteration of the 964. The ultimate Turbo S variant. It's like, it's not really an equivalent, but like there was 93 of them made.
Last of the air cooled?
No, 993 after that.
Yeah. 993 after that.
So this was the last cars made before the 993. It was when Porsche were literally on their arse, like the brink of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And they turned to the exclusive department, who were one of the few departments that could still make money at that point, because they just overcharged for everything.
Yeah.
And said like,
you still do that now.
Help us. we've got 93 chassis, help us. Because 993 was about to come out and they're just like, we've got to get rid of these 964 chassis. Yeah. And so Exclusive, who at that point were a little bit more leery than they are now, said, well, let's just make the ultimate Turbo S. Let's just go mad.
Right.
So power, visuals, everything. And then the ultimate selling point was the slant nose. Flat bars, the slant nose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that car, yeah.
Well, that was the 930, is the one you're thinking of.
Right.
So they it was very popular on the 930, with the slant nose, yeah, with the pop-up headlights.
Yeah.
That so popular, they thought, well, that will be our big finishing selling point that we'll charge a 60% premium for.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a $100,000 car, the 3.6 turbo, and they charged $60,000
more
for the flat bow Turbo S variant. Nearly double the price. Insane.
And what happened there?
Well, cleaned up. 73 of the 93, or 70-something of the 93 cars ordered, were ordered with the slack, with the flat belt.
Were
the slack
they?
Nose, yeah. Genius.
And worth a few quid now?
Oh, yeah, worth all the quids. 750
grand. Worth all the quids.
All the quids, mate. I won't talk too much about how it was, but you can guess me and that car freaking out.
If you want to know, then watch his main channel video.
Yeah, coming on Sunday, that one,
this
I think.
Sunday?
This Sunday, I hope.
Right.
Yeah, this Sunday. But it was like a we went Porsche Fest. I saw some amazing PTS GT3 RS 4 liters. Went and viewed the most incredible 1960s Porsche race cars. Like, oh, it was like a, I just like freaked out.
You just had a nice time.
I had a lovely time.
Yeah.
And then on the final day, I drove a 1967 Shelby GT500 Mustang.
1967.
So the original Mustang, but like the ultimate badass Shelby.
The gone in 60 second one.
The Eleanor car.
The Eleanor. Oh, I'd like to drive one of them.
Mate.
Like Ollie Webb's got one.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is his a real legit one, or is it like a built after the fact?
I'm pretty sure it's a proper one.
Mate.
Ollie, is it a proper car?
Does he listen? He listens. No, I don't think he's too busy doing cool stuff, does he?
Oh, I bet he does.
Oh, Ollie, if you listen, what's up,
mate?
Come
on, son.
Oh, mate, that. As a Brit in America, is that not surely like the only car we actually want to drive? It's a bit cliched, but I was so buzzing. They were all taking the piss out of me. All the Americans were like, oh, what a pile of crap. I was like, oh, that's the whole reason I'm here. I've literally flown here to drive this car.
Yeah. You never driven one before?
Never driven a vintage Mustang, classic Mustang.
Right.
And this is the Shelby GT500. So this was like, so in
did
its
it work?
Period.
Uh-oh.
In its period, 350 or 355 horsepower, a 275 GTB in its Larry six carb form is like 300 horsepower.
Yeah, yeah.
So like this was
really
in
fun.
Its day, like stupid.
Probably didn't weigh nothing either.
Yeah.
Probably light, mate.
I bet it was light.
Because cars back then were, I mean, they wasn't safe. You didn't want to crash one. But they were very, very light, weren't they?
Yeah. I'm just doing some Googling.
I'll say 1,200 kilos.
And obviously competitive in its day. It's 1,400. No, just under 1,500.
Really?
1,470.
It must be the engine that's
it's
making
American.
It.
It's American, yeah.
Well, it's
7 litre.
Oh.
7 litre V8. Yeah. That'll be something to do with it.
350 horsepower.
I know, but that's what's insane. And that's continued. In America, that's continued. Because what was the... there was something which was like a 12 litre, or no, something, you know, like a 9 litre.
Yeah.
Putting out 238 horsepower.
It's unbelievable. Look, how... Where is the engineering in that?
Mate, just like American cars in general blow my mind a bit. I sort of love them. And I love America. I just love America full stop. But yeah, the whole car thing is just wild.
Yeah.
And we also took out on the same day a 2008. So we took out the three generations of the GT500. So they've only made three generations.
We drove one.
We drove one, exactly. So we drove the newest variant.
Yeah. It was all right. Tim's got one.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
I drove the one back, the middle one, which was the 2008 boxy car,
yeah,
and then the 67 car. So right. I really liked it. As a concept, I was super happy. But the middle car in 2008 had 725 horsepower. Mate, death trap.
Really?
Like, death trap. Death trap.
Right. Because that newest one we drove, that had a lot of horsepower.
760.
But at least it had a bit more
it
about
was it. Well put together.
A little bit more European. It's still, I don't think, as good as a European car. We said that, didn't we? But, I mean, it's better.
Yeah, and it felt deployable enough that you would say it was like an M4CS rival. Mm. Wouldn't, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, not as good, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But as in, like,
the engine made that car special.
Yeah, the engine made that, but it wasn't like stupid. The 2008 thing.
Death Trap.
Like, what is going on here?
Not no straight line.
Psychotic.
Won't go in a straight line?
Mate. Death Trap.
Would I have been in the wall?
The best part was, which is in the video.
Manual?
Manual.
Oh, my God.
It's in the video. Because you can't accelerate. You literally can't accelerate.
Right.
You just can't. I had kind of got to grips with, like, how to make it step out-ish.
Or just put your foot on the accelerator a little bit.
Literally. And I thought, okay, I'll get a... point of view driving clip of like what it's like to drive a 725 horsepower from 2008, and I thought, leaving a roundabout, I'll just get a little wiggle on.
You're not driving around,
basically.
and I just leave it in.
I showed the clip. We sat down to do a piece to camera with the guys from it was Ryan Friedman Motorcars, who are the dealers that I was working with.
Yeah,
and oh, really. By the way, sorry. Side note. I filmed this chat in the car and I got the GoPro angle wrong and I'm really upset because it's a really good chat and the angle is just horrific. Anyway, I've left it in. I show them the clip and as I'm loading it, he goes, "Not on a corner." Because you can just see me coming off the thing. He's like, "What is about to happen to my car?" So some good content to come, I think. I had a blast, a lot of classic stuff. We took a ride in a big Maybach into town. It was just a good... It was a good Americana experience and plotted and planned some stuff for later in the year. I had a few other meetings in town, which is really the predominant reason I was going. But had a good time. What's been going on with you, mate?
Well, just doing a bit of work, mate. Just being busy. Yeah.
Stuff still selling? Are you still selling the lower end stuff?
All sorts. But predominantly, predominantly like 30 grand down. That's where the market is.
But it's been all right. It's not quite as long because you're approaching. When's the new reg?
Now.
It's right now. So that's a good or bad thing for you?
There's more stuck about. So yeah, it's all right.
What's that rustling? Can you hear a rustling on the mic?
It's the rain. No?
I can hear. Oh, is it? I thought I had a bit of interference. Yeah. Sorry.
But this is normally a half decent time of year it picks up now.
Yeah, famously.
First quarter of the year is always good, but normally always good. Last year wasn't. But in general, it is normally good. And it carries on.
Sure.
You'll have the odd month that isn't that great until the back end of the year, last quarter of the year, and then it dies again.
Fair.
So.
Had any Panameras come into stock?
No, luckily. Okay. No more for me. Thank you. I'm quite happy. Do you know what I saw the other day?
Go on.
I really like them as well. It's an electric car as well.
Oh.
You cannot believe what I'm about to say.
No, I don't think I can.
I haven't got the money to have one, I did, I'm not sure I'd buy it. Where's the new Spectre.
Oh, I'm driving it in a few weeks.
Oh, mate, I think that's a lovely car, that car. It's £500,000, though.
Yeah, it's all the money.
I'm not paying that.
I mean, it must be, and that's what I'm looking forward to finding out. So I've got a good trip planned with Rolls-Royce on that one. It must be the ultimate electric car.
I think that's perfect.
Only thing will be range. It's going to be big and heavy. So how far is it going to go? That'll be interesting to find out. But if you're a Rolls-Royce owner, do you care? Like, where are you going in that car?
Knightsbridge.
Exactly. So therefore, you don't, living with the i5, you're fine.
Like, and if you've got a Spectre, I would say you've got a garage or a driveway, so you can charge it.
And you've got other cars as well.
And you've definitely got other cars, yeah.
It's very good looking. I'll wait and see what the interior's like. It's the one thing with Rolls-Royce, they often let themselves down with the interiors.
Mm.
It's huge, you're right. But it's, wow, I didn't see that coming from you.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a fuck it. I look at them often.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
What, that's like, oh, go buy one of those.
Like,
no, you do not.
That'd suit me, a Spectre.
No, it wouldn't.
I would.
Actually, it would.
Just nice tuxedo.
But would you have a Wraith?
I would have back in the day.
They're 90 grand now.
I know, but I wouldn't have one now.
Mm.
Because that's a bill, mate. That's the problem. Yeah. But back in the day, like, I really... It's only because it was big and cumbersome and I like something that's not. But I'm getting a bit older
winter,
now.
Though. Yeah, well, you are. You're an old man.
Not an old man, but I'm just like, another few years, I'm like coming out of the fact of being rattled around in a car and going into... I mean, I'll definitely have a Bentley in a couple of years.
Yes, mate.
Continental.
I'll join you there.
Yeah, I'll definitely have...
No, I'm 10 years older than you, even though I'm 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 10 years further down the road. Yeah. I think, and I had this conversation with some of the guys over the weekend, if you're lucky enough to do what we do and spend your life around Larry cars, 9 times out of 10, when you're not working, you just want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
That's why I like that Maserati so much. Yeah. It did everything I needed it to do on as a, just a car to use. For the weekend, I drove it in the city. I drove it onto some back roads. I took it to some car meets. I had people in it. I was using it to film. Like, it was just lovely. It was just perfect. And 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or when I wasn't working in this world, I was like, oh, our Dahlia Radical. Mm. You know, oh, definitely Dahlia Caterham. And there are people that do it, and I absolutely applaud them.
Fair
and
enough.
You're the biggest legends in the world.
Yeah.
But when you're spoilt like we are, to be able to go and do trips and have lovely cars and do all that Larry stuff, when you're not driving it, I actually would be so happy in like a diesel A7.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Just want to waft.
Yeah. And I think, in general, most of the general public think the same way as us. Mm. Because that's what the manufacturers build now, by the way. You know, they build these really lovely cars that are comfortable, but you can switch modes.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And then they become uncomfortable and literally a touch of a button.
Yeah.
So I think the manufacturers obviously realised that a while ago. And that's why we have so many cars now, even SUVs, that they become literally four cars in one. How long have we been talking about that?
Well, that new Range Rover Sport SV.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That, you know, in terms of its variety of application. But
and I think the people that, and I'm not being disrespectful here at all, I think the people that daily these Caterhams and stuff, they just haven't been exposed enough to that whether they want the car or not, they haven't had newer stuff to run around in all the time, because there's a point in your life, you just haven't realized it yet, that you won't want to be rattled around anymore.
Because
I've had 25 years of it, I'm fed up with it.
Yeah,
now.
Well, but that's the thing, I disagree. I think the because we're working in it. If you have a 9 to 5, if you're in the office and you're driving your diesel C-Class to work each week.
But you said they're daily in them.
Fine, or you're daily in them. Because if your job is, sorry, accountants, if you're an accountant or you work at IT help desk or you're selling
whatever
laptops at Currys or whatever, and you, it's nothing to do with cars. Mm. Like you're in a job that you don't enjoy, and it's not car related.
Yeah.
Or maybe you enjoy it, it's just not car related. Therefore, the only kick you get is your drive to and from work. Is the point I was trying to make, not slagging off people at Currys.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, you're going to get your maximum in that window because that's all you got. Because maybe at the weekend you're busy. So it's like.
But I think there's a period of time where that happens. I don't think you go through your life. That's what I'm saying. You won't go through your life being rattled around. There becomes a point in your life where you go, oh, that's enough now. I'm not doing that.
Maybe you're right. I do applaud the people that don't ever make that decision, though.
I can't think there's many.
No, but
and
that's why.
They're recaptured very quickly.
That's why I'm like, well done, son.
Well done, son. And some people do it the other way around, by the way. So some people have always been exposed to comfort and reliability and practicality. And then they get to my age.
Yeah,
and they have a complete switch. They have a wobble on and they go, right, I've earned a few quid. I'm going to go and be uncomfortable for a few years.
Call it a midlife crisis.
And then they have to go and have back surgery.
It's like when Paul Wallace keeps saying, oh, I really want a GT4 RS. And we're like,
no,
it's literally the car that you will hate.
Literally.
He's the man who's obsessed with ride quality.
Yeah, he doesn't like driving.
Doesn't like driving either. Doesn't like cars.
No, it doesn't like cars.
Speaking of cars that we don't like, let's move on because our beloved Porsche released, potentially the most exciting car they've ever released, or at least the most powerful.
Most
Tony.
Powerful, they said.
Most powerful. The Taycan Turbo GT.
Good job.
Which tops out at 1,093 horsepower.
And weighs 4 million tonnes.
And if you want it, has no rear seats. What a pile of poo. I have never been less interested in a Porsche in my life.
Yeah, me too.
I mean...
And it's a modern one as well.
Do we get why they did it?
This would make... And I'm not just saying this because it's electric. This would make absolutely no sense, even as a combustion car. What is it all about, mate?
I can't say that because I'm a Project 8 fan and an Alfa Giulia GTAM fan, so it would be silly for me to be like, oh, that's like a stupid concept. So I have to give it to them that it's never not been done before type thing.
I agree, but I have a different theory on...
Yeah, because you slag those cars off, so I get it. But I can't join you in that rhetoric because I'd be...
Yeah, join me, come on.
And I'd be eating my own words, so I won't knock them entirely.
How are we going to drag this out?
Well,
how are we going to talk about this for 5 minutes?
Okay, so hold on a sec. Let's take the.
It's got a nice wing.
does it? So let's take the benefits. Let's take the positives. Yeah. So Porsche and any manufacturer that is pushing the performance of an electric vehicle is surely aiding in the development of the EV platform and what's possible. Because to get this extreme levels of performance, they're going to have to tackle weight, which they've done in quite an aggressive way. Not necessarily positive. Heat management, that's going to be a big thing, isn't it? If you're going to be churning this much power from batteries, how to maximize the amps and the deployment. So like motorsport, like all of these things, that has to be seen as a positive, I guess. I don't want to knock that entirely because, you know, it's all. But, have we not established that at the moment, extreme performance EVs are not really the cars that consumers are wanting? Like, we know...
No one wants the normal one.
Well, yeah, we know that the Taycan is literally plummets in value from the second you order one.
But let's think of another positive.
Yeah.
The performance... Mm-hmm. In a normal Taycan Turbo S.
Yes.
Is blistering.
Was it already 900 horsepower? What was the new one? The new one
700 or 800. Anyway,
I thought the new one was like somewhere already close.
It's enough, mate. It's nearly £1,000 worth of torque. It's less stupid. It's so fast. It's unbelievable.
New Taycan Turbo S. Where is it?
It's the performance figures in that Taycan, it's through the roof. Yeah. 2.5 seconds to 60 or whatever it is. So, you know, you're always, in an electric car, you always get that instant power and that, but I don't understand why they're chasing numbers now. Like, the Turbo S is already too fast. I mean, you can say that about a 911 Turbo S, but at least he's got a bit of character.
940 horsepower in the standard Taycan Turbo.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it's marketing, isn't it? It's marketing. It's to set the lap records. It's to put Tesla in its place. It's
set the lap record around the Nürburgring.
Yeah, and Laguna Seca for an EV. It's for an EV.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, as I say, weight saving, I don't think necessarily any of it's been done massively cleverly. Like, so it's 75 kilos in reduction. That's been done with a liberal use of carbon fibre.
That's our weight. That's one of us.
Yeah, not revolutionary.
Yeah.
Forged wheels, not revolutionary. Yeah. Soft closing boot mechanism is gone. Not revolutionary. So, you know, I was hoping they were going to say they've put in this super lightweight new battery or this new lightweight new electric motor, but they've just taken everything out.
So it's always 2-ton.
If you get the Vysac pack, you move the rear seats and the rear speakers and 2 charging ports. Also gone on the floor and boot mats, as well as some sound insulation. So they just literally removed, like, it sounds horrible.
So what they've done is they've removed everything and charged you a load more money.
Yeah.
Basically.
$200,000.
$200,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you joking?
Yeah, the non-Vysac car, I think, is 180 something. Let's find the price. And then, obviously, Vysac package is usually going to... Here we go, 186,300 for the Turbo GT. The Vysac pack is what, usually $20,000?
Yeah, easy, 20, 25
grand. And also, that's 186,300 with no options.
So that's, and it's over Porsche. £200,000.
Well over $200,000. And the thing's like, as I say, like...
Oh, my God.
It's Porsche, and I love Porsche, but, like, what is this? And has any... I mean, look at those rear seats. I shouldn't comment on that, because Project 8, even though I'd have the 4-seater, and you can get the 4-seater. Anyway, boring story.
Oh, they've got that wrong. They've got this car wrong.
But the thing is, like,
who's buying it, mate?
That's what I don't get. I mean, it is Porsche, so they'll sell them, right? Because someone will go, oh, I'll get a 918 slot when I saw I'll buy this.
Well, hold on a minute. So they won't want it. They just have to buy it.
Yeah. Well, that will happen, won't it? We know that will happen.
Absolutely happen.
But, because it's a, you know, it's a GT department car. So it's going to aid, you know, if you're getting a big GT department car, it's going to, theoretically, at least the dealer's going to tell you, aid with your future GT department slots.
Mm.
But who has been sitting there going, you know what I've really been wanting? Is I really want a Taycan I can take them to the Nürburgring. It will take me an extra 3.5 hours to get there, but boy, when I get there, I could do 2 laps and show off, then sit for an hour at the charger.
that's literally all you're going to do.
Because, you know, as I said, like, people will come at this being like, oh, you just hate EVs. But come on, guys, let's just be serious for a second. Surely the EVs we want and need right now, the area that we need the development in, is like the Renault 5. Like, we want the range, the price, the tech, the advancement in battery technology, not the track specials.
No, we need mass market, low budget, town, or even suburban EV cars,
yeah.
Because that's most of the market.
With some price parity.
Yes. Yeah. Even like the petrol market is tiny for this stuff.
And the thing is, like, if you go into the... Okay, right, so what could you go out and buy that rivals this? You know, so
whatever you like.
Yeah, so someone said, no, but hold on a sec. So someone's saying, okay, well, you know, but forget EV versus ICE. Like, name me another Porsche GT department 4-seater, because, you know, it's going to have GT department steering and handling. And let's not knock it. Taycan is a great handling and driving EV, and the GT department are magicians. So I'm sure it'll be lovely to drive. Yes, it's going to be heavy and it's an EV, but I'm sure it'll be lovely to drive.
What's wrong with the Cayenne GT then?
Cayenne Turbo GT.
Yeah. That would be a 4-seater rival for that car.
You're totally right. I would suggest weight will probably be similar, but we can check. I would suggest it's a higher center of gravity, isn't it? The suspension and things.
Yeah, maybe the Taycan for a lap round Nürburgring might be a few seconds faster, but there's no prizes at the end of a Nürburgring lap, by the way.
No, but what I was just trying to play devil's advocate and be like, you know...
So am I. I'm trying to help.
Yeah, what else can you go and buy that offers that, you know, Project 8, Alfa Giulia GTA. Okay, fine, they're 3, 4, 5 years old now.
That Range Rover you drove?
That's probably not going to be theoretically dynamically as good as this. And not SUV. Give me something, because I say saloon.
Okay. Give me M5 then.
Yeah, maybe the new M5.
M5 CS.
Maybe the new M5.
Yeah. And we can keep going. There's so many, mate. There'll be loads. Fast Audis, fast Mercs.
And the problem being that this is $200,000. I mean, I know it's a Porsche, but...
New AMG GT.
No, four-door.
Oh, four-door.
Yeah.
All right, the AMG GT4 then.
Four-door, yeah. No, yeah, it's... is just...
But the problem is,
what's
the
range going to be?
No, but it will be the same as the...
No, but no, when you get to again, Larry. I mean, this is going to be in the point two, so they are claiming that big 300-odd mile range.
But it's a lie.
But it's... And on the Turbo S, I think it's not. I think it's 270 or something like that. And then start driving it with all this power.
Yeah. Just like a normal combustion car, if we're going to try and stick up for electrics a bit, when you drive a combustion car fast, the range goes down dramatically, especially these big, heavy stuff, you know, the big V8 four-door saloons. And by the way, no one buys them as a combustion car. So what chance they got of buying that? It's useless.
And also, again, like just... Oh,
they've got it wrong.
Is not one of the biggest selling points today of GT department cars the engine?
It's 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%.
The fact that our cars go to 9,000 RPM and sing like that and give you all that power in that last 500 RPM or 2,000, like,
yeah,
that's what you change. Like, if you put a turbocharged six, you know, whatever, they stand, like, the GT department stands out because of the engine.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, you could say it's handling and brakes as well, mate.
Of course, but do you know what I mean? Like, if they,
I know what you mean.
They have stuck to that naturally aspirated 4 litre for a reason,
on purpose.
The rest of the range has gone all to the turbos.
Yeah,
there's a reason why they've stuck to that, because that is it's a motorsport engine.
Correct.
So just to say, well, but this is a GT product, Porsche, it's going to be amazing. I'm sure it'll be very, 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 very good. I just don't understand the point in it. I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm sure it'll be fantastic, and I'm sure it'll be lovely to drive and exciting and exhilarating and mind-altering, and you'll think, how can it do this performance? But why on earth would you buy one?
But people will say that about a lot of cars, as in, you know, we've sat here before loads of times and says, why have the manufacturer built that engine car? Why have they built that electric car? Why have they built that? But the problem is with the difference between electric cars is it's the future.
Yeah.
And that is not the future, what they've just built.
Well, it's not the future we need right now. Like, I would rather...
Ever.
Like,
what's all that about, mate?
Mm.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to build a track-focused car, if you take our cars as an example, light, not loads of power, good brakes, good handling, that car is the polar opposite to everything I've just said.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it's a precursor to the forthcoming electric Caymans and Boxsters, I don't want this.
Mm.
I don't want this route to be, you know.
Yeah, I
would have preferred them to come out saying we've made a Taycan lightweight, a Taycan RS, or no, you know.
But it wouldn't be lightweight.
No,
would
but
it?
It would if they came out and said we've made it. We've taken this battery pack away. We've removed this motor. It's rear wheel drive only. We've managed to cut out 250 kilos from the car.
And it's 400 horsepower.
It's 400 horsepower. And it's on skinny tires. Like a Taycan T.
Yeah.
A Taycan, I would have been way more excited.
Yeah.
You can throw this electric car around. It's got, we've upped the torque. So it's really torquey, but not loads of power. And it's a fun to drive, lightweight. We've killed the range a bit, but who cares? It's just for a silly little driving car. Rather than, here's your 1,000 horsepower, 200 grand.
The thing is, mate, it literally goes, it literally goes back to, how can we maximise and make as much money as we can from this platform? Because basically, that really, really doesn't cost much more to make, we've said this before, than a normal one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 30%, 40% more.
Yeah.
It's the old SUV question again.
Yeah.
It's why the SUV market is the biggest market in our country and probably nearly world.
Mm.
Is because it's the car to have. Everyone buys them. They charge more money. It doesn't cost any more to make than a saloon car. Mm. So the manufacturers are...
Winner-winner.
Yeah. So that's why they're making it. Same. It'll be on the same production line as the Taycan. So it's all about money, mate.
Yeah, and I think it is to rival that Model S played. You know, that car has been, I think, fairly successful for Tesla. And I think Porsche are trying to, you know, pull back some of the creds, and they want to be a mover in this space. And I don't know. I just am like, why?
No one's going to Nürburgring in that car.
Well, someone will, mate.
There'll be an odd person.
There's someone will for a few times just to be like, look at me in my electric car. Yeah. And it will be good. Like, let's not deny the fact we love Porsche and Porsche get it right. That will be a good car to drive. Will it be comparatively to a combustion engine vehicle good? Arguably not because of the weight distribution. But the Taycan is a good car to drive. We've both agreed on that.
Absolutely is a good car to drive.
And this will be a better version of it. So it will be good. It will be.
Well, it should be.
But it's just unnecessary, I think.
Yeah, what's it for?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Anyway, let us know your thoughts below. Are you thinking that we're wrong in this? Are you super excited? Do you think this is the ultimate? Are you now suddenly going, that's the EV that I'd have, maybe?
And we're not being anti-EV. This is a car. This is basically, as far as I'm concerned, it's a car. Whether, if that had had a petrol engine, I'd have said the same thing.
You would have, to be fair. Yeah. I would have got really excited. Okay, moving on. A few headlines I just wanted to touch on before we wrap up. UK records strongest February for new car sales in 20 years. Here we go. Electric and plug-in hybrid growth outpaced petrol and hybrids and diesels as the fleet propped up the market.
Yeah.
Well, this goes along with the saying, it's a bit more EV bashing, which we don't really want to do. But anyway, let's stay to the positive.
Yeah.
In total, 84,000, just under 85,000 new cars were sold in February, according to the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders. This was a 14% increase over the same month in the year prior. Mm. Now, give me the inside track. To qualify a sale, is that a sale to an individual, like a customer, or is that just, you know, registered cars on a
registration
forecourt? Fine.
Basically, from if it's a manufacturer, they only care about registration. So basically, just get all the dealers to register the cars.
Fine. So that's not telling us exactly the full picture.
No.
Okay.
All it's telling us is that dealers have got a load of cars.
It's saying that there's 85,000 cars in the UK February. Okay, fine. On a forecourt.
Because the general public will always wait to March for their
car. Well, I was going to say, and is that in preparation for March? Is that like, let's get a load of stock in so we can do a load of incentives and deals in March, or that's not quite?
Well, if they're registered, no, because they'll be registered, so they'll be February, they'll be, you know, 2073 plate, but 24 registered
cars. And there's
cars.
Not an incentive of like, we'll do this deal because it has to go by the end of this month?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes. Okay. So basically, it'll be a first quarter quota and they want them out.
Mm.
So what they'll say, well, you know, you can order this car now for 1st of March, or you can have this February car that was registered in February, you can have 10 grand off.
Yeah, it gives you now. But it's got to be done. You've got to do it now before the end of the month.
Yeah.
Interesting. Porsche 911 Hybrid confirmed for summer 2024.
That'd be
a good
car.
That's the 992.2. Which they're saying they reckon it's going to be Carrera S, Carrera GTS, Turbo. Turbo S is going to be hybrid. The standard Carrera, non-hybrid, and the GT products, non-hybrid. That's what they're suggesting, but we'll find out. And then this took the social media world by storm, especially because I was in America and my algorithm picked up on that. This Rivian R2, which is like a little crossover Ioniq 5 looking thing.
Yeah.
People went wild for. We haven't quite caught on to the Rivian hype, I don't think, in Europe/the UK yet.
Are we getting it?
I think so. Like, there are test cars knocking around. I don't really know what's going on, but it's one of those brands that's sort of really picking up in America and people seem to love or hate, but is doing well, I believe.
Yeah.
And yeah, this thing came out and people just went absolutely nuts for it.
Right.
Took over my entire, feed.
Right.
I can't work out the size of it because it's an American market focused car.
Is it?
Here we go. R2 is roughly in line with the Model Y. So that's just below Model X in this country. Is that right?
Model Y is like Q5 size.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a nice size, I think. I mean, it does look cool, this thing. Looks beefy, looks cool. You know, definitely more appropriate for this country than the big Rivian pickup truck.
Yeah.
And if they are coming this way, I think that's going to be a good thing. R2 is earmarked for US launch, first half of 2026, then international sales follow soon after. But yeah, people are very positive with these things. Let's see, 2 battery packs, has it got 300 miles of range?
Good.
So that sounds pretty good.
Yep.
But then it's, you know, quick as always, 0 to 60. Yeah, I think this thing looks good, but there you go, that's the most important thing. Pricing, around 35 grand. So European models will probably nudge that price past the 40K mark. But I think 45K.
Plus options.
Yeah, but you know, US cars usually come fairly well equipped with just a few packs.
Yeah.
You know, if you look across the board to the Chevys and the Fords and stuff like that, they're pretty, you know, it's not like a Porsche or BMW where you go from miles adding
options.
All right,
so let's take that car as an example. That's we're on a better track now.
45 grand, good looking, right size, right mileage range, right price.
Well, let's have a bit more range, because that's not enough range, because it won't
be. Nothing else does more than that, mate.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. It needs to be
in general.
In general,
fine.
This is what I'm saying. If this is where we're going, we always have a different conception. But if this is where we're going, because we're talking about it right now, let's get that up.
Sure.
Let's just get the price down a little bit more, and then maybe people will buy them.
What is a Q5 these days?
I expect 160 grand probably.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I actually think 45-ish, 40, 45.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's going to be 40. So I'm saying 45 with a few options.
Right. Okay.
I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. And that's for me, that's a good range in this market, in this current point of view. I'm intrigued by that. I would like to see that. I think I'm back off to America in the summer. When did they say? Oh, no, 2026. We've got a while to wait. But I like that. I'm a big fan of that.
The biggest problem we're going to have with EVs going forward is repairing the confidence in the general public. Because I cannot tell you, I'm not talking about petrol heads here or EV heads here. I'm talking in general, people I speak to every day, normal general public, cannot tell you how many people say to me, "Oh, I don't want an EV car." Because of the confidence of charging it and everything.
Yeah.
Like it's and by the way, quite a lot of these people were in.
Yeah, but that narrative will change, mate.
Because well,
look at my experience with the i5. I've found the public charging network to be super easy and super reliable. 2 years ago, I had a completely different experience. So I've been waiting, loath to go back, terrified about trying to live with the car and what that experience would be, given how much I travel around the country and need to rely on the public charging network. And the one thing which hasn't been an issue has been the public charging network.
Right.
So just in that period of time, that has changed my belief that, okay, so that's made life a bit easier. I have done a few longer trips in the car and known that I've been able to rely on that network, known how to navigate it and not been screwed over. There have been other pitfalls, which we'll get into when I do my big i5 review, when it's, you know, living with the car for six months and everything I've learned.
Mm.
So I'm already someone that's gone back, having been had a bad experience, stayed away. I've now gone back and I'm having a more positive experience.
Yeah.
So the narrative will continue to evolve and change. I get where you're coming from, but because everything is happening so rapidly with all of future mobility, not just in the EV department, hybrids, combustion, synthetic fuels, hydrogen, like there's so much going on, that confidence will change very quickly.
Because
if you think about it, the general public are 2 years behind where we were two years ago.
Yeah, easily.
You know,
they're
only catching up now into the lack of confidence. So as our narrative starts to change, which I think it will because of the fact that more promising cars are coming to the market because of the public network. So then they'll start to have some confidence come back. So in another 2 years, people will go, "Oh, I've heard it's got a lot better actually." And the cars, you know, they're stabilizing. Oh, there's some good few options out there now. Then they'll start to make a shift.
But it has got a lot better, but you still have flaws.
I still have flaws.
You still have problems.
And absolutely.
These problems do not arise in a normal combustion car. And I get that it's not been around a lot and they do need to evolve it and they're going to continue to evolve it. But instead of being negative or positive about an electric car, let's just see it as another form of transport and it's not the end game, which is how we...
That's always been the point.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not... But I think people don't think that. They think electric is the end game. That's it. But it's not going to be.
Oh, I'm so hesitant to even go in on this topic because I just know that the comments are just lights on fire. Because
no, we're not having a go, mate. I'm trying to have a conversation.
But you don't realise you are having a go because what you're doing is you're lighting a fire in the bellies of pro-EVists because...
Well, don't be so touchy then. Like,
yeah.
I'm literally just trying to have a normal conversation here about where this is actually going to go and where it's going to finish. I'm asking questions. I don't need people shouting at me that have never driven an EV in their life because someone told them it's a good thing to have.
Or they do. They live with an EV.
Or they live with an EV, but they live in a perfect world in a perfect life.
I did a post with the i5 before last week, or before wherever we were going, to film the SF90. and saying, oh, you know, my home charger's broken, and so I've got to make a decision. It's 7 p.m. at night. I've either got to drive down the road, charge the car. It's going to be an hour and a half round trip at 7 o'clock at night. I've got to tell my wife, sorry, can you wait for dinner till 9 p.m. because, you know, I've got to go charge the car.
Yeah.
Or I've got to wake up and leave home at 5:30 instead of 6 or whatever to charge on the way. Blah, blah. You know, hassle. And a guy came back so aggressive, so fuming,
yeah,
saying, you're misrepresenting electric cars, and I live with an iX3, and I do 2,000 miles a week, and I have no issues, and this is... And I said, I'm not slagging things off. I'm just
exactly.
I'm sharing my real-world experience.
Yeah.
But this
your
is why...
Your real-world experience,
yeah,
not
it,
his.
Yeah,
yours.
Exactly. Like, but I get a bit down about it, mate, because I feel like over the last few weeks or months on this podcast, we've been... continuing to do what we always do, which is the only thing we do on this show, just talk about what we get up to.
Absolutely.
Our experiences, our lives, our opinions.
Yeah.
We are not here to do anything but that. We are literally just, the intro is uninformed enthusiasts.
Yeah.
That is what we're here to do and talk about. You are a professional in the motor trade. I make YouTube videos. We're sharing what we get up to. But I just, the amount of vitriol and hate and negativity and aggression around this whole topic... it actually makes me go, I just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, but we're just having a conversation, mate.
I know.
That's all we're doing.
It gives me anxiety.
Yep.
Because I'm like sitting here going, I might just delete the end of this this episode because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And just the fact now that we're discussing it, I'm just being completely raw and honest with you all.
Yeah.
It actually demotivates me to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Because realistically, we're in a world where you and I are experiencing being exposed to discussing on a weekly basis electric cars, the whole news. I went on Autocar this morning, the car news section, to go, oh, look, what, anything we should talk about. Every article is about an electric car.
Because that's the newest
thing. That's what's going on in the world.
That's what's going on.
And I'm sitting here going, well, I don't want to talk about it because then our comment section becomes absolutely filled with negativity and aggression and people determined to tell us that we don't know what we're talking about and that we're clueless and that we're just haters.
Yeah.
And I'm just a bit like, well, then cool. We'll just sit here and each week we'll talk about F-types.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like
9-11s.
F-types and 9-11s. So I'm sorry to have a bit of a moan at the end. Maybe it's because I'm still recovering from my Saturday night, but...
We are.
I genuinely, the last 10 minutes, I've had anxiety.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, because I've just been thinking, oh, we're going down this route now, talking about EVs, and it stresses me out. So, yeah, well, look, make of it what you will. I'm sure I know exactly what to find in the comments section, so I'll be avoiding that. And next week, we'll be back trying to find a desperate combustion.
Another electric car to talk about.
Combustion. Actually, but no, long story short, next week, another shout-out. We did mention it. We're doing a Rate My Ride. Thank you so much for...
We got a lot, mate.
Yeah, all the feedback for the Rate My Ride episode with the SF90. Loved that so many of you enjoyed it. We picked up on some of the comments that somebody said, some really good constructive comments.
Yeah,
This is the part of you that we love.
We do.
You know, when you say, look, this is what you like, this is what you didn't like, maybe give some suggestions, some ideas, some format. So we may tweak a few things. But next week, Wednesday the 20th of March, we are looking to film the next Rate My Ride style episode.
Do we know what it is yet?
We have a few options, but I'm just doing a last-minute call-out just in case somebody else wants to get in the mix.
Something really interesting. Can we do something really interesting?
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
So something quirky and different and something. So next Wednesday, car needs to be available southeast of England.
That's quite a big place, though, mate.
On Wednesday the 20th of March. Well, we can get around, can't we?
Well, Cornwall's the southeast of England.
That's the southwest, mate. Good geography.
No.
So get in touch, btg@seenthroughglass.com. That's btg@seenthroughglass.com. If you have a car that you want Tony and I to review for this podcast, as I say, must be available next Wednesday the 20th of March, be able to get the car to the southeast of England. But that's it. We wrap up the episode.
Yeah.
Look forward to being back with you next week. If you want to follow Tony in the meantime, he's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass, and this podcast is at behindtheglass_podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.